I always hate it when people say like entrepreneurs are risk takers. Like, just because there is risk doesn't mean we say yes to it. That's a dumb adage. I'm not a risk taker in the sense of chaos, right? I'm a calculated risk taker, but I'm not a chaotic risk taker. All my risk is calculated before I take it.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over 11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as us entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey towards 100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to season two of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's going on, Sales Funnel Radio? I'm just driving into the office here. I'm in the middle of my five-day offer challenge. Shameless plug, fivedayoffer.com. It's been really cool. I have 1,000 people registered for this one, and I love it. It's so fun. It's one of my favorite topics, obviously, offers. If you're new to that idea with me, I kind of touted around as the offer king for a long time. And I'm not saying that I put the crown down. I just, you know, you can have an offer and still be broke. You got to get traffic. So then I got super obsessed on launch strategies. So this is probably like three-ish, four-ish years ago that I got crazy obsessed in launch strategies. And then from there, and I was like, oh, now, you know, then it was more like project management and system and team management processes. And I've created something there. And it's been a fun journey. And I have sat here for the last 5 minutes as I drive into work, trying to figure out what podcast to say. And I just have had this little thing continually pop in my mind. And I'm like, nah, they don't want to hear that. Nah, they don't want to hear that. And like, but I don't know. It's the only idea that keeps popping in my extremely active noggin. And so I'm going to share it. So that's kind of part of the point as well. So if you've ever done like stage speaking, or you've prepared a webinar, or you've created an offer, or you've really done any of the things that you are, you know, that we do in this space, obviously we're taught to model big people. We're taught to model successful people, which you should. You know, I made this sales video for my next event, offer launch, which is going to be October 26th, 2023. Very excited for it. We've got capacity for about 500 to 1,000 people, depending on virtual seats and how we flex there. I made the observation, like, when, just follow with me for a second here, okay? So I took my girls to my office, and I had them stay where my actual office is. And then I went into the studio and started filming this video. And it was the sales video for offer launch. And it's not the first time I've had this type of insight, but it resurfaced after years that this is basically it. I was filming and I got to a spot in the video where I started talking about how unique offer launch is, you know, which obviously you should do for any of your products. And then that's what spurred the thought. Somewhere along the lines, I realized that there are certain things to be blue and new and prolific with, and there's other things that you shouldn't. For example, if you're going to go do a challenge or you're going to go do a webinar, while there's certainly play room within the framework, don't make up your own, right? Like, do a challenge or do a webinar or do a summit. Any manner of these things have already been proven. And what it started kind of resurfacing in me was some, I don't know if you want to call it research, but I mean, kind of, that I did, and recognizing that there is a place to be blue, new, and prolific, and there's a place to not. In your offer, in your product, be blue. Right. Be prolific. Be new and exciting. I mean, you're trying to push the envelope. Be innovative. But in a launch, don't. Right. In a funnel, don't. There's places to not, meaning follow what's been tried and true. I'm not saying have the same hook as everybody. That's not what I'm saying at all. Of course, be prolific there. I'm saying in the model that you're following to launch your hook, the model that you're following to launch the offer, don't be innovative. Why would you take that gambling risk? I started shooting through that and all that kind of like resurfaced. I was like, oh yeah, there's like a whole thing that I had on that for a while ago. I used to call it Red Ocean Analytics. And Red Ocean Analytics was all about how to study many aspects of what created a red ocean in the first place. And it kind of gives you somewhat of a map, right? So it takes a lot of the guesswork out. I always hate it when people say like entrepreneurs are risk takers. I'm like, just because there is risk doesn't mean we say yes to it. That's a dumb adage. I'm not a risk taker in the sense of chaos, right? I'm a calculated risk taker, but I'm not a chaotic risk taker. All my risk is calculated before I take it, right? I'm an entrepreneur. But a lot of people equate that with being reckless. That's crazy. And to me, not knowing much about the red market, the red ocean that you're trying to sell into or away from or create a blue inside of or outside of, whatever, those not knowing what has previously worked for all these other companies, the reason they still are a company, the reason they're still getting customers is reckless risk. That's chaotic risk. That's terrible, right? I'm not that kind of risk taker. You know, I've caught some pretty big shots and got there and certainly done some risky things compared to sitting on a couch, but there still was a plan, right? There still was like rhyme and reason behind it. And so my only reason in bringing this up was this idea along with the second one was all that kept popping in my head as I was like, okay, what can I share this morning that can be helpful and, you know, to all of you amazing listeners? And really, I think the first is that there's some people that are just trying to, like, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's for the sake of trying to constantly be innovative. And people always like quote Steve Jobs. I'm going to be Steve Jobs. I'm going to be Elon Musk. I'm going to be, it's like, cool. No, first off, because you're already your own person and they're their own. So you're never going to be them. Stop trying to be you. Just be you louder. That's it. Secondly, if it's taking you like a really long time to get an offer out, start looking to observe where you've been adding process too much, right? You've been adding fat. You've been adding drag to releasing. And a lot of times, like, I don't know what it is, but I'll tell someone, yeah, go do a challenge, go do a webinar, go do a summit, go do an event, go do some kind of thing. And they're like, well, I don't know if I want to do one of those. I'm like, why would you not want to follow what has already been proven and is making hundreds of millions in the marketplace? Why? What's the issue? What is it? Get over it, right? There's parts that you should be prolific on and new and innovative, and there's parts you shouldn't, and you should just do what is working. Here's a classic example. I love network marketing. I love affiliate marketing. I do both. Don't worry, I'm not about to pitch you, but there's a point to this, okay? Think about this. This illustrates the point very much, all right? Once upon a, like 5 years ago, I was like, how did network marketing even get born? Here's how network marketing was born. You look it up, and I believe it was Amway. Amway, right? Network marketing wasn't a thing. Multi-level marketing wasn't a thing. But the sales guys are all sitting around. They're like, we got to get more sales. And so they're like, what if we like threw like a party and like somewhere along the line, someone stands up and pitches. And then if someone bought and they were my relative, I'll get a little cut of your sale. If someone bought and they were that guy's relative, he'll get some of your, like, a little cut of your sale. So they went and they tried it and it worked. And they're like, huh. And then they're like, well, what if we like three-way called each other? And we're like, oh, this is going to be huge. That way, because it's hard to be a prophet in your own town, you know? And it's got to be that authority figure that you don't really know about. And so they started doing three-way phone calls and it worked. Well, what do you think the next company did that came along and saw that model? That started doing three-ways and home parties. What did the next company do? That. What did the next company do? That. The point is that marketplaces, I made this observation. This was like the first OfferMind 2018 when I was like, holy crap, marketplaces become marketplaces for many reasons. But one of them is that there is a very similar customer acquisition method that is passed throughout the marketplace among the companies. Meaning, take Funnelland, for example. What is the classic customer acquisition method that Funnelland was taught? Webinars. Why? Because the category king, ClickFunnels, they used webinars. And so what did we all get trained on? Webinars. Does that make sense? And what it does is, like, when you learn the backstory of what it took to get ClickFunnels out the...
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Door. There's a lot of respect that should come with learning that you should do a webinar and the script that works the best. And people are like, oh, is this a webinar? Yeah, only if I want to freaking win. He's like, oh my gosh, like you have no idea how much. He was like 15 years into his career. How far are you? He'd been doing stage pitching forever, talking face to face with the greats as they tweaked his script for him. Why would you do something different? Oh, it feels weird. Get over it, man. Like, all right, yeah, go be a pioneer in your customer acquisition method and tell me that it gives you confidence. Go be a pioneer in your customer acquisition method and tell me that it's something that you feel so confident in that you're willing to spend ad money and you're willing to start doing JVs with big people. I'm not saying you can't invent customer acquisition methods or funnels, but start with what has been working in the marketplace you're choosing to go into in the first place. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Don't be new, blue, and prolific in your offer, in your hooks, in your messaging. Sure. But in the way you sell it, in your script, in the funnel type, in the campaign type, why on earth would you be prolific out of the gate? First, start by using what the others in your marketplace have been using to get customers, right? Get over any craziness going on in your head about it, and then go start to invent. First, meet the baseline of what is sustaining all the other companies in the marketplace. Why would you not? If it's proven, it's proven. If people are buying like that, they're buying like that, right? I just laugh when someone's like, well, I don't know if I want to go do a live event in your studio because I don't know if like, do events really work? I'm like, are you kidding me? I don't know if I want to go do a challenge. I don't know if I want to write a book. I don't know if I want to do podcasts. I don't know if I want to do content. I don't know if Yesterday, the first day of the challenge, I gave the analogy that one of the biggest frustrating aspects I have in teaching is that, you know, I feel like the frameworks that I hand to people, first of all, a huge difference between a framework and a process. Most people have processes. They do not have frameworks. The frameworks that I hand over in my stuff, they're really good. They work. They're proven. Why'd you do anything different? You know what I mean? But the issue is that it feels like I'm handing a Ferrari to a five-year-old. There's nothing wrong with the car. There's not the emotional maturity yet. I don't mean that someone's immature, but it's experience. Business. There's not the business acumen in that person's head yet to even handle driving the Ferrari. Their feet can't reach the pedals. And then they'll go, the car doesn't work. This is a bad framework. Must be a scam, right? Everyone's favorite four-letter word to run to in this freaking market. And it must be a scam. Like, good grief. Are you? No. Yeah. Not as many scams as people think there are. People actually usually try. But the problem is that like, oh, I gave you a Ferrari. I was telling this to someone yesterday. I was like, I gave you a Ferrari. No offense. You're just still a five-year-old trying to reach the pedals. You don't know how to run this car. You don't know. Right. And then when I try to give you a bicycle, because you got to start practicing driving and hand and arm signals and using your clickers and blinkers, like, well, I don't want a bicycle. And I'm like, what do you want from me? Like, you still have to move your feet. You got some growing to do. I can't do that for you. Right. The example is just going through and use the acquisition methods that have been proven by the marketplace that birthed the marketplace in the first place. use them. Don't complain about it, do them, right? Second of all, realizing that it may not be and isn't that there's something wrong with those customer acquisition methods. Your feet just may not be able to reach the pedals yet. Doesn't mean the acquisition method is wrong. You just got some growing to do, right? Reach the pedals. Get over the whole, what happens when I have the first hater? I had someone last night tell me I'm stupid and that I suck. Whatever. It's just like, move past it. Cause at this point, like, no one's coming to save you. No one can do that growth for you. And I know that I'm preaching to the choir here, you listening right now, but this is what I was saying to this person. No one's coming to save you. No one's coming to do your growth for you. No one's coming to help. Like, there is no true, real answer for you not reaching the pedals. No one can solve that for you. You got to learn to reach the pedals. You got to grow. You got to become a business person, right? You have to become a marketer. Those are identities. They're not just titles, right? And which comes with a burden, right? The burden of a marketer, you're going to make noise. What's the outcome of that? You're going to get like 20% of the people who hear your stuff don't like you. And 5% are going to hate your guts for no good reason. They just woke up on the wrong side of the bed that day. Don't internalize it, right? And until someone can learn to not internalize it, they're probably not going to be a good marketer. If you can't ruffle feathers, if you can't look at, you know what I mean? You're not going to be a marketer. I'm not saying you have to ruffle feathers to be a marketer, but if that freaks you out, it's probably not. Number one, choose another path. Or number two, which I hope you choose, just like get used to it. Figure out what the real issue is, because I doubt it's that. There's probably something else going on inside of you. This super old, really nice lady just pulled out like right in front of me, even though I was at a stop sign, and then she stopped really fast and looked right at me. You're the right of way. I'm just at a stop sign. Oh my gosh. Anyway, I'm pulling into my office here. I hope that was helpful to recognize that there is a benefit to being an inventor. But first, start with the baseline of what's been proven, because otherwise, for some reason, you skip past all of the failure that someone went through to harvest and come up with and prove that customer acquisition method. That takes a lot of grit. That takes so much work. And you're saying that you can go out and guess better than them? Don't you think they already tried? Maybe there's a chance they tried what you're thinking of instead. Just start with what all the businesses in your marketplace are using and then invent and then improve. Just meet it as a baseline, right? Realizing that it's probably not the acquisition method that's the issue. It's probably just I call it the five-year-old in the Ferrari. Okay. That's what I've been calling it the last like month. So, okay. So the five-year-old in the Ferrari, like, beware of that and realize, oh, you know what? I'm not going to blame the vehicle. I'm not going to blame the framework. I'm not going to blame the process. I think I just got some growing to do, because if there's any other person in this planet that is making that framework, that vehicle, that model work, it means it works, right? And it means you're the variable that's not working, right? And again, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but like, anyway, probably call this episode five-year-old in the Ferrari. But don't worry, it's not rented. Anyway, all right, guys, you guys are great. I'm going to go do this next challenge. I'm on day two, and I love it. I love it, I love it, I love it. And anyway, go to offerlaunch.com. Excited to have you. OfferLaunch is definitely much, we're not talking about ads, right? I use ads, but if I can't get something to work organically, I never turn ads on. So it's more about messaging. This event is more about knowing if it's a launch, you should launch with, again, the customer acquisition method that all the people in your industry are using to stay afloat, right? It's more about those types of things so that you can launch with confidence. The point is not to bathe you in tons of stuff. The tagline is literally marketing in the fewest steps. We want simplicity. We get that simplicity down. You can apply it to all this different stuff. That's how we do it. So anyway, you guys are awesome. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. I am starting to noodle. I'll tell you what's happening behind the scenes. I'm starting to noodle on Capitalist Pig Radio. I'm very excited about that. And going to go ruffle the next level of feathers. Awesome. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. Be sure to download all 300 episodes from season one from Sales Funnel Radio, which documented my journey from literally zero leaving my job and my first 5 million. And it's easy to download. Just go to salesfunnelradio.com, enter in your email, and it will get emailed to you. It should be immediately. You'll see it inside your email, the link itself. You can also see a link on there to interview me, work with me, get some sponsorship if you want, and get some shout outs, or even record your own question for the show. Again, just go to salesfunnelradio.com, subscribe to the newsletter, and you'll be able to download all of season 1's episodes for free.